regeneration again, study in regeneration. And the last one was the doctrine of regeneration, time of regeneration. And I don't know how many of us looked at that, how closely we looked at it. And I told you, regeneration is a quickening from God. It's something God initiates. We don't initiate being regenerated. That's something that God has to do in us and for us. It's, we have the instructions on what to do after we're regenerated, but God initiates regeneration. And I was listening to a preacher today saying that the creation in Genesis was a metaphor of regeneration. In other words, God has to shine light into our heart. God has to bring us to the light. He has to place life in us, because all of us are dead in sin and trespasses. And God has to quicken us. He has to make us alive. So, I think last week when we were talking on this, I was saying a lot of people had it kind of confused with regeneration and being born again and some of the terminology. And I didn't want to go back over that same territory tonight. But what regeneration does is it's the same power that that raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, it have to be a death before you be regenerated. He's not going to regenerate you physically, but spiritually making you alive. That's what he does. He quickens us. He makes us alive. I gave you a study sheet, and I emailed it to some. And those that I didn't email it to, I don't have an email. I got it in paper. But it was from J.I. Packard. He's one of the old writers that I study a lot. And God places his life in us. It's not a repentance, and it's not faith. Faith is required. You have to have faith. Nicodemus had faith. He believed that Jesus was sent from God. And what he told Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, if you read John, I think it's the third chapter, the fifth to the eighth verse or whatever, when he was telling him about this, he never did tell him how to be born again, because you don't have any control over being born again. Now, where a lot of people get confused is watching television, watching televangelists, when they say, say a prayer and say you believe in Jesus Christ and say you, and then they say, well, you saved and you born again or whatever. It's not by the will of man. It's not by blood. It's not by the will of man. But it's by the will of God that we are born again. God births us. So this is God placing his life into us. It's a circumcision. He's given us a new heart. Now, I also said it's an initiation. In other words, it's a one-time event. But I also say it's a process. It's a reoccurring event. In other words, it's not the same as conversion. It's not the same as conversion. Now, you remember we were doing Luke, I think, 22nd chapter, Luke 37 verse, when he told Peter, and he says, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He says, but when you turn again, when you are converted, so you can fall, you can repent, you can turn again, so you can have a multiple conversion. A conversion is just turning back to something. But regeneration is what happened to Peter on the day of Pentecost in the upper room, when the fiery tongues descended on them. That was the Holy Spirit. That was the Spirit of God entering into them. When they were in that upper room, and it says that the Spirit was like cloven tongues. They were being obedient. They had faith in Jesus Christ. So they were being obedient to Jesus Christ, because he had told them, don't go out and preach. Don't do anything. Go back and tarry in Galilee until you be endued with power from on high. So all of the time that when they went out, when he sent them out, preaching two by two, and they was casting out devils and doing all this. They hadn't been regenerated. He just placed his spirit upon them. He gave up of his spirit that time, but it wasn't an infilling of the personal. That's why Jesus had to die. Nobody was regenerated before Jesus died. I talked in a sense of Nicodemus and Zacchaeus in a sense of being regenerated, in other words, becoming a new person. But spiritually, it's not possible until after the death of Jesus Christ. So, regeneration extends to the whole nature of man, altering his governing disposition. The way he governs his life, everything to do, and it illumines his mind. In other words, it brings him into the light. God is the light that shines into our hearts. And as I told you that I was listening at the guy today, and when he was saying it was a metaphor for Genesis, the creation story, you remember it was darkness that was on the earth, and God said, let there be light. Well, it's darkness in your souls. We dwell in darkness. We walk in darkness. All of us are dead in trespasses and sin until God comes in and lighten our soul. He gives us of his light. That's why he says we're to be lights unto the world. So when he gives us of that illumination of that light, he's birthing us. He's borning us and bearing us again. That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. There's no other way around that. That's the conversion. That's what gives you life. That's what quickens you. That's what makes you alive. Quickening means make alive. 1 John 1 and 12 through 13, first chapter 12 through 13 says, but as many received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, listen at this, these are the ones that he gave power to become sons of God. Now, like I said, it's going to be a continual process. You can see me sometimes saying that you have eternal life. In other words, the moment he initiates this new birth, the moment he regenerates you, you are the son of God. You are sons of God. But at that moment, he's bringing you into justification. But there is a growth period. There is a process you have to go through in growing into Jesus Christ, into the form, in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. The 13th verse says, who were born, not of blood. It's not whether your parents or anybody you know or any relationship or preacher or anybody else. You can't be born again like that. It's not what lineage you are or whatever. And it's not of the will of the flesh. In other words, you can't will yourself to be born again. There's no work you can do to birth yourself again. Before your children were born or whatever, they couldn't say, well, you know, I want to be born again. They didn't have anything to do with that. They didn't even have knowledge. They was ex nihilo. In other words, they were nothing. They hadn't even been formed. They hadn't even come together. But when God initiated that process, when they were conceived, so we look at the act of regeneration as actually like the conception. The conception of the egg and the sperm, that's when it was given life. You remember he told Jeremiah, he formed them in the womb? But that life, the actual birth occurs physically when they are birthed from the womb. But Nicodemus was trying to put it into a physical aspect and he didn't understand it. He said, well, must needs you go back into the womb to be born again or whatever? He said, how can I be born again? You notice that Jesus didn't answer him on that because man can't do that. God looks down in the spirit, giving life to those that he will. Regeneration is a spiritual change that's wrought in the heart of man by the Holy Spirit. That's what changes. You remember I told you that circumcised heart? He gives you a new heart. He changes your way of thinking. He puts his nature in you. He puts his spiritual nature in you. So those that are regenerated won't ever be lost. And so those a lot of times, a lot of people can think that they're born again. I'm going to be skipping around a whole lot tonight. But a lot of people are thinking or professing that they're born again, but they really hadn't ever been born again. Even Nicodemus, you can have a whole lot of religion about you or whatever, and that's not being born again. You can't be birthed by knowledge or understanding. Let's see, how can I say this? What being reborn does, regenerated does, it starts illuminating your mind, and it alters your perception. It's God freeing up your will, because man doesn't have free will. Man is born in the bondage of the will. If you read Martin Luther, the bondage of the will, when you're born, you of Satan. You're the children of Satan. You're dead in sin and trespasses, as everybody is. Even in the church, outside the church, if you hadn't been born again, you're dead in sin and trespasses. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. You have to be birthed into his family. So what happens, it frees up the will to follow God. It frees up the will to follow God. And sometime I talk to y'all personally, I try to preach a social gospel. In other words, I try to get it in while preaching and teaching, but if I need to get on one-on-one or whatever, someone needs to talk to me personally, I'm always there available. But what it does, it's a renewing of your nature. In other words, you have the ability then to start applying the Word of God through faith. So faith is a prerequisite to that. Faith is the substance. In other words, it's the underlying structure. You stand up on faith. You have to believe upon Jesus Christ. So faith is there. I preached on Apollos Saturday. Notice that Apollos, the thing that was missing with Apollos was that he hadn't had the completeness of Jesus Christ, the faith in the resurrection. All he knew was the baptism of John. He was a disciple. He had heard from what John did. But see, the finished work was in Jesus Christ. So he had already had the foundation, the structure of the Old Testament, and he had a knowledge of the Scriptures. It's just like Paul. Paul had a knowledge of the Scriptures. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But until that Damascus Road experience, when the light shined on him, he was in darkness until he told him to go there and Ananias and place your hand upon it, and that's when Paul received of the Spirit, because he spoke to Jesus, said, "Lord, who art thou?" But until Christ comes into your life to give you that ability to be able to become a son of God, in other words, the power to overcome by faith. See, that's way how you overcome is through faith. So faith is the underlying structure, and that regeneration is the process of you growing in grace and the knowledge and understanding, because you can't grow without knowledge and understanding. You have to have wisdom. So it's the washing of regeneration by its word. Now don't worry about that right now, because I'm going to go over that about washing of regeneration by the word and by being sprinkled and by being washed by the word. 17th century known theologian Thomas Boston cautions that there are false conceptions in grace. He claims that many are deluded into mistaking some partial change they experience for the great and thorough change known as regeneration. These are some of the points he goes over and say about it. He says, one may engage in all the outward duties of religion and yet not be born again. You could be in the church and you could hold a position of a preacher, a teacher, a deacon, just a regular member, and not be born again. A lot of people come to church and are full of religion, but that's not being regenerated. That doesn't mean you're born again. It's just that you're religious. But you still, like he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So you should see that there are maybe things of the conditional promises that you have to fulfill before the Spirit births you into the family of God. They may advance to a great deal of strictness in their own way of religion and yet be strangers. You remember the Pharisees about tithing and about the law and about washing of hands and about their strictness? There's a lot of people that are very religious and don't miss church services, don't do all of these, and live a good life. But that doesn't mean that they're born again. That doesn't mean that they had been regenerated. So you could torture your soul or do many kind of fasting and taking of communion and do everything, but this, you can't do anything to bring about the new birth. There's nothing you can do to do that. That's something God of necessity have to do. Regeneration is a thorough change whereby one is made a new creation. Remember, it says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. This spirit that he has or that he puts in you, it goes into the renewal of the inner man. It goes into the renewal of the inner man. I will give you a sheet. I don't know. I didn't get any questions. I may start to ask the questions before we start. Those of you that I email stuff to, have you read or studied any of this? I asked, do you have any questions on this about regeneration? Because what people have been doing, and in this last generation, said there's no excuse for being ignorant. In other words, I hope I'm not wasting my time with y'all. That's why Paul says he hoped he hadn't run in vain and he had believed in vain, because he was hoping that their faith would not fail. And the reason a lot of people's faith fails is that they hadn't been regenerated, but they're still not, what can I say? They thought that they were regenerated or whatever, but the process of going through hard times and suffering causes them to draw back from God and their faith fails. In other words, they start to do things that they shouldn't do. Miss church services, and they're not giving the way they're supposed to be giving. They're not living the way they're supposed to be doing. And they allow sin to enter into their life. Because what we see, that repentance is necessary for this regeneration. Because when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, he said, "What must we do to be saved?" And he said, "Repent and believe on Jesus Christ and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost." You see, so there were some preconditions for receiving the Holy Ghost, even though God doesn't necessarily place a precondition on everyone. Everyone else don't have the same regeneration story. So, like I said, there are a lot of people that Wednesday nights and Sundays or Saturdays or whenever their preaching services is and their Bible studies, that's their time for God. But the rest of the week, they're not studying God's Word. They're not studying what their preachers and teachers are telling them, even though they may be listening to other preachers and other people talking the Scriptures. They're not studying to show themselves approved, a workman of God that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And they have too many teachers and they don't know what they believe, because the many different teachers are teaching the different ways or whatever. And you have to believe that God had given you the pastors and the teachers that he wanted you to have. And you have to excel in that place. And that he'll add on. And that's why it says the Spirit added on to the church as such that it would. It's the Spirit that gives life, and it's the Spirit that adds on to the church. Regeneration is a change of qualities or dispositions. Vicious qualities are removed. So we may have, a lot of people are just grouchy, they're just bitter, and they do all these things. But if you've been regenerated, the moment you start doing these things, you start catching yourself, you start apologizing, you start repenting, and start telling the person, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it that way. Because you have a conscience toward God, then you have the mind of God. But without studying the Word of God, you still a person of flesh. You still there joking. You still not serious. And you not seeing the things in your life that need change. You not having faith that God has given you the power to overcome. It shows a lack of regeneration, a lack of being born again. That's why it says, he that is born of God sinneth not. In other words, you don't practice doing these same things over and over. It's that God is helping you to overcome, and you start seeing that God start reinforcing these qualities in you. Somebody was talking to me Saturday about all the things in life and all, and they hadn't noticed yet. That's where they hadn't noticed that these are the things that are peculiar to the children of God. Instead of them losing hope, that they should be praying and having faith that God is going to change, or God's causing these things, that all things work together for good. But they doubting God and complaining, so now God has to bring something else into their lives to grow from, because we just have to accept what God's pushing our way, the suffering of the corners that we have to turn. I woke up this one morning and I don't know, my wife heard me say about, you know, is it worth living? You know, life's not worth living, and all these things. See, because that's the physical man crying, he's dying, and he sees he's going. It's like Paul said, he didn't know whether it was to die, better to die and be with Christ or whatever. Because the physical man will suffer. But the carnality of the person, when someone is carnality, They look at you, no, I don't want to die. Well, now you start attempting to save your life instead of enduring the suffering. You have to learn to endure the suffering. That God's going to deliver you if you have faith in Him. And it just may be a day or two away, or a week or two away. But your faith has to lie in God. And that faith and that spirit gives you power to become the sons of God. That's when your testimony will have strength. Because you were doubting God. Elijah ran and he said, Lord, it's better that I die. He laid up under the juniper tree. He was running from Jezebel. Well, a lot of us, our wives, our husbands, our children, the circumstances of life has defeated us. Well, that's physically, but he physically shouldn't have ran. He should have stayed and faced the problem. Don't run from evil. What the evil you run from here will be right over there when you arrive there.
Sure.
He wants you to overcome. Some men never overcome their henpeckness. Some women never overcome their fear of their husbands, or the fear of their children, or the fear of the employer, or the fear of different things. One of my sons was telling me a situation one of my other sons was involved in. And I say, he was right in what he did. See, what we have is, a lot of people like the things of the world or the world so much that we compromise being children or sons of God, and we acquiesce to the devil. Sometimes we acquiesce to the point that we lose what God has for us instead of allowing loss in our life. Instead of us saying, well, okay, if I lose it, I lose it. If I lose my children, I lose my wife, or whatever. But I have to stand up on the principles of God. I have to take this chance. I have to take a leap of faith. But without that renewing, without that power, the faith is you're trying to work it in your own power, and you can't do it. You can't do it, and that's why a lot of our faith fails. Peter wanted to stand up for Jesus. He said he was going to die for him. As a matter of fact, he had pulled a sword and was fighting for Jesus. But we see that Peter's prayer life was weak. that Peter had a physical failure. It wasn't a moral failure. Peter was trying to save his life, and he denied Jesus three times. So what happens is we are looking in the flesh, and we're used to operating in the flesh. That's why I say it has to be faith, and it has to be studying in the Word of God, because we need to have a godly response to the circumstances and situations in our life. We need to be doing this pleasing to God, being led by the Spirit of God. A lot of us blunder from thing to thing because we're not waiting upon the Spirit. So that's why we go through so many trials and tribulations, because we keep prolonging not learning to trust in God. We don't know if Abraham was just doing it, but notice before the promises, Abraham could cash in on the promise of God for Isaac, it was by 25 or 30 years before he came to the point of really trusting God. That last test, that last trial, was when he said, kill your son Isaac. But notice, he wouldn't have got to that point if he never would have went to Egypt. If he never would have went to Egypt, if he'd have stayed where he was. Now, God used all this. God has put all of this in part of his plan. But he had to build up faith in Abraham. That's why he calls him the father of faith. And it's the same way with us. He's going to have to build up faith in us. But other than the faith that's in us, that's why I say don't get that conversion of having faith confused with regeneration. Regeneration is the Spirit in you. That will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's why you have to be regenerated or born again. Changing His will to the will of God. In other words, changing our will to the will of God. It is no longer about us. It's about God. And so when things happen, we start saying, well, God must allow this to happen. Now, let me wait up on the Lord and make the right move here. Mm-hmm. Let me not move too quickly. Let me be led by the Spirit of God. Let me not react through a fleshly reaction. So, Romans 12:2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed, and listen at this, and progressively change as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. That's why I say regeneration is a change of mind, but it's a growth and change of mind that by faith, not you walking by the will of God, which is what? The Word of God. That's how you wash. You regenerate it by the washing of the regeneration of water. This is the clean water that he's pouring on you, that you know to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to continue in his Word. We have to start to be like Christ. So we have to start putting away anger, bitterness, all of these other things for God to start giving us this power, because we have to start being what? Conformed to Jesus Christ and not to the ways of this world. We too busy reacting humanly. That's why I say sometimes we still will say a human thing, but the Spirit drives us on to do that which is right, because the flesh don't want to die. So a lot of times that was wanting to die, Elijah said, let me die. It was the flesh that was afraid. The flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing. And that's the man that you have to build up. You have to not quench it. You have to not grieve it. But it's going to be speaking or acting on things of faith. And that seed of faith in you has to be growing. And the only way that can grow is acting upon the Word of God. And it's the Spirit that gives you that power to act upon that Word. Notice Nicodemus did a whole lot of great things, and I don't want to go in to talking about him too much tonight. But it says, by renewing your mind, focusing upon godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What is in His plan and purpose for you? What God has for you? In Ephesians, so we realize this, it's a continual renewal of the mind that God had given you. Now, even as this, if this is a mimicking, if you hadn't been born again, but this is your intentions, and God's driving your intentions, notice that a lot of times we receive what we wasn't looking for. We become that which we practice. And I told you about Cornelius. He wasn't regenerated or didn't have the Spirit of God, but he gave of alms, and he studied, and he prayed. So at the right time, or at that time, Paul sent, and he sent Peter to preach to him, and he believed on Jesus Christ, and he was regenerated. He was made alive. He was quickened. God's looking for a person that has faith and believe upon Jesus Christ. Are we listening yet? The faith and belief upon Jesus Christ is doing that what Jesus said. So if you're not doing what Jesus says, you may not become regenerated. And there's an argument, and I'm not going to go over the sheet that I gave you. There's one sheet there that's an opposition to the Reformation of what they're teaching about regeneration. A lot of times I don't refute not being apologetic on wrong teaching and wrong doctrine, because there's too much wrong teaching and wrong doctrine out there. But I gave you that so you can study those things, because the enemy may be right there in the bed with you. The enemy may be some of your children or whatever. Jesus told you, now, if you don't heed that warning, you may never have your eyes open. You may live it, the flesh may love that life, and you quenching or grieving, you never have power to stand up to those that are wronging you. You know, if you start standing up and walking in the Word of God, a lot of your problems would disappear. A lot of the people would back. That authority, Jesus, may even your enemies be at peace with you. So, if you're in this church here, one of our beliefs is paying tithes, right? But those that say they believe that but don't pay tithes, do you think that they have a chance of being born again or regenerated? They're saying they believe something, but they're not attempting to do those things. If someone's in this church, and there's a lot of churches across the world, they say they believe in Jesus Christ or whatever. But as long as they married to a man, a woman married to a woman, as long as they're practicing homosexuality or whatever, do you think that they'll be regenerated? Because they're saying they believe, but they're walking contrary to what they say they believe. That's why in Ephesians he says, as such were some of you, but you were changed. So the minute God regenerates you, your life changes. Your whole lifestyle changes. That which is against God, God enables you to overcome that, and He gives you power and authority over that as sons of God. That's why he said, beloved, now we the sons of God. Not later on, but now we the sons of God. God births you into His family. You can't be born out of that family. That's why I say a lot of people that's falling, a lot of people that leave the church or whatever, the John, in the Epistle of John, he says, they were not of us, and that's the reason they continue with us. They were never born again. There's a lot of people profess Jesus Christ, and then they change, they leave Christianity or leave the church or whatever. That's because they never was of God. They were just saying they were. So don't just believe. That's why I say a lot of people come to church and don't do this, but you have to start imitating Christ. Ephesians 4:23, 24. It says, "And be continually renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh, untarnished mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new self, the regenerated and renewed nature, created in God's image, in righteousness and holiness of the truth, living in a way that expresses to God your gratitude for salvation." So you will show yourself thankful that you were released. How many times a day, how much do you thank God for Him releasing you from bondage, for Him coming to your life, changing your life, for the life you are living? Are you constantly giving thanks to God? Because some of the characteristics of those that are not part of God's family are that they're unthankful. So whatever's going on with you, you should be thankful. Even if it's not good, you should believe that God's working everything for your good. And you can get through that. And that's where you have to struggle with the flesh. The devil will make the spirit that you are into, you have to start bringing every thought into captivity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm not saying, and that's what the Bible says, it's not by the will of the flesh. You're not going to do this in your own power. If you can do this in your own power, you don't need Christ. Right? If you can quit doing these things.
Yep.
But if you're struggling not to do these things, it's a lot of women in bad marriages. It's a lot of men in bad marriages. But the spiritual or the Christian thing might be not to get out of that marriage, because it says, "He that is bound seek not to be loose. He is loose that seek not to be bound." So within that marriage, God could make things right, but it's against God's law to divorce your wife, to divorce your husband for any cause. That's the last cause. He even talks to the Apostle Paul about separation, that you should separate yourself for a time. And the reason he's saying that, that's if both parties are believers, but something is wrong, then God could work it out where those two come back together. But it has to be on religious grounds, the reason you separate. And what religious grounds that gives us? None, right? So it would have to be an unbeliever, because, like I say, the husband or the wife, if he's a believer, he just have to suffer with that. Some things you get into, you just have to suffer. You marry, you stuck. You just stuck where you are, so you have to ask God and pray to God. Maybe God will loose you, loose that bond, and then He might not. But He might show you how to cope with it, is that if you start standing up for God, doing those things you're supposed to do for God. If that woman or that husband see that God comes first, that you don't acquiesce to, you say, "No, it is necessary that I do this for God first," they may just leave on their own. You don't have to run them off. It's like, you know, the dog. If you don't want the dog at your house, you don't just keep feeding him and keep doing what the dog wants you to do. You stop feeding him. Now, that don't mean for a man to stop paying the bills. If you don't take care of your own house, you're less than an infidel. That don't mean the wife to stop doing what she's supposed to be doing. If she don't, she's less than a wife. But you're doing what you're supposed to be doing physically and spiritually. You see what I'm saying? You have to start following and asking God to give you the strength to follow Him, even though it's going to cause you suffering and heartache. She might fuss at you for putting the money here. She might fuss at you for going to church here. He might fuss at her for going to church here. Always doing these things. But just let them fuss. They're fighting against God, not you. Because you're dead. It is Christ in you. It is you that's following Christ. You're doing what Christ told you to do. Liberation from bondage. I told you, it frees up our will. It enlightens the blinded mind to discern spiritual reality. At 1 Corinthians 2:14-15, and I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to make this a little bit longer by going over each and every one of these scriptures, I think. So it is going to take a while. And we will leave off regeneration. We will come back to regeneration. It may be a year before we come back again. But I'm going to kind of go through this while I'm going through it, and in some other aspects of regeneration that I'm going to go through. But I said that I was doing it for the sake of being expedient, but something tells me, and I've been asking God about this and praying, and maybe I'm not going slow enough with y'all. Maybe I need to slow it down some. 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, 14 through the 15th verse. It says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritually judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." So, if you understanding, if God has opened your point, your understanding to the point where you know this is what God said. You understand what I'm saying? You understand that this is right. Then, I'm not saying that you've been regenerated, but you should do that. That's light to you. That's part of God's word. You should do that part of what you know to do is right. Deacon read something, I think it was in Micah. What chapter of Micah that you read to open this up?
Sixth chapter.
The sixth chapter of Micah. And he was, this is the Old Testament, right? Yes. So these people are not under the Spirit. What verse did you start at?
Sixth.
The sixth verse. He says, and you sure it was Micah, the sixth chapter and the sixth verse?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go through all those verses. I'm going to start at the 8th verse. Okay. He has shown you, O man, well, I started at the 7th verse. Then. Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? No. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with the Lord your God. So you know to do good. That which God had told, he had showed you. Now if you understand this and you're walking in this, you have faith and trust in his word. You know what's also going to happen? As you start doing this, you will stop fearing man. In other words, you will stop fearing your children. You will stop fearing your spouse. You will stop fearing those at work, those that are your neighbors and associates. You will fear God, and you will try to do that which is pleasing to God. So these things in your life that you're not doing and you know to do, because what happens now, you will sear your conscience till you can do what is not right, that you know that is not right. What you're doing then, you practicing sin, you're not imitating a child of God, you continuing in sin. It says, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? God forbid. So that which we know to do is right, which God's word tells us what is right, we need to start doing that. We have to start doing that. We have to struggle to do it in every situation, every outcome. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. And as I said, I would rather do this than to cover a whole lot of territory and you're not understanding line by line. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. Are we there? It says, "For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness." There go creation again. There go Genesis. The earth was dark and without form. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, it is God that sent a preacher. It is God that sent that light into your heart. It says, for it is God who commanded light
to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he sent a preacher, and he had given you light. He illuminates you. He said, light be. This is what God wants you to do. Do you have faith in the word of God? How does faith come? Hearing the word of God? Now, if that preacher or teacher is speaking the word of God, shouldn't that ever increase your faith word by word, line by line, precept by precept? Each time you come in there, if you start doing all of the word of God, all that that preacher and teacher is giving you, that you should grow in the grace and knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't do anything about being regenerated. Nicodemus couldn't do anything. He said, but you must be born again. If you're doing what God wants you to do and trying to please God, don't you think he's going to regenerate you? He's going to birth you into his family? Colossians 3 and 10. Now, I tell you what, I had marked these and I gave you notes on these. So each one of those notes, you can go back and study during the week. Because like I say, just like you're giving your time to other things, you need to start learning to give more time each day to the study of the word of God. So you'll know to be able to teach this, because it's other people. And I run into people all the time, religious people, that'll try to waste your time. And if you're in a church, we really don't have to be up here going back and forth with scripture, because you're out of order anyhow. First of all, what church you belong to? And if you really belong into a church, you wouldn't be here trying to convert me. We wouldn't be arguing over these scriptures, because a servant of God shouldn't strive. But if a person is of God and want to hear the truth, or are listening, or you speak the truth, God's called you to speak the truth, and they should take heed to that. But you shouldn't stand there and argue and try to get your point across to them. Like I say, some apologetics I don't get into. Colossians 3 and 10 says, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. According to the image and likeness of Jesus Christ, who had created us. So we start doing what Jesus Christ did. He came to do the will of the Father. And if you do this, then Jesus Christ will show you the Father, and the Father will show you the Son. You won't ever be lost, because you're taking heed to the Word of God. And I said it liberates and energizes the enslaved. It energizes the enslaved will for free obedience to God. It frees you up to, that's what regeneration does. But if you have that knowledge, then it don't take much to boost you off. You remember Aquila and Priscilla took Apollos aside and explained to him the word of God more perfectly? He got it like that, didn't he? Immediately. But before then, didn't it say that Apollos was mighty in the scriptures?
Yeah.
So he knew the scriptures. He had a zeal for God, but something was lacking. And that was Jesus Christ. So he didn't say, well, look, y'all just tent makers or mechanics putting together tents or something, and I'm some eloquent preacher, orator, and I've come from Alexandria, and I know all these things. But he listened to them. See, because people will listen at the word of God, and if they don't listen, that means God hadn't sent you to them. So I say, you shouldn't argue, because notice that all these people that received the gospel willingly receive it openly. God said those that reject and don't listen, wipe the dust from your feet. Don't waste your time. Romans 6 and 14, I think I asked you to go to. Romans 6 and 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Do you believe that? So how can you allow somebody to have authority or power over you, or sin to keep you in bondage. The word of God says sin shall not dominate you. It shouldn't have dominion. You have to start being able to tell sin no. That's what Jesus told Satan. No, man shall not live by bread alone. We read where you have to mortify the deeds of the body where you don't obey sin in the lust thereof. In other words, that flesh will want to do things that you know you shouldn't do. How many times you say, you know, I shouldn't do this? God will help you diet. If you know, a lot of times you're sitting there and you pray to God to help you go on a diet or whatever. How many times you sitting there, and I tell it, people in this church, and that's why some of the members are sick. That's why some of them can't do on a diet. Because if you prayed to God to ask you to help you to lose weight, and you sitting there, and you say, you know, the Lord knows I don't need to eat this, but it's good, I can't resist it. Hold on there. Ain't you contradicting what you believe in? Isn't your conscience, and isn't God telling you, you don't need to eat that? But you say, I'm going to eat it anyhow? This is not trivial. You remember I said about a lot of foolish talking and trivial conversation? If you know not to, whatever is of not of faith is sin. Isn't it? Now, if you say, you know, I shouldn't eat this, I shouldn't have this, why don't you listen at that, what you shouldn't do, and don't do it? Once you start doing that, that regeneration is closer down the road because you've repented. He said, repent. Turn from what you used to do. I used to do all these things. I no longer do it. Well, as you turning, and I'm going to have to wait till I get a little bit further down the road to tell you this threefold thing about you're dead. You remember I keep telling you you're dead, that you can't do all these things? The only way you can do these things is you will find out that God was with you all the time. That's what Jacob said. When he went to sleep at Bethany, he woke up and he said, you know, God is in this place and I knew it not. It's not you that's overcoming that. It's God in you that gave you the will and the power to do. If you're able to do anything, it is God that gave you the will and the power to do that. That's why when God, when you said something told me in that thing, listen at that small, still voice. God's not going to hit you with a hammer and says, don't do that. Sometimes it's a small, still voice saying, don't do it. But the more you start listening at that, the stronger you'll get in God. You get to the point as you find out that you're not doing this yourself, that God's giving you the power to will and to do. That without Him, you can't do anything. It's cardinal you're giving the glory. 6th chapter of Romans, the 17th through the 22nd verse. It says, but God be thanks that though you were slaves of sin, and yet you obeyed from where? You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. This is the doctrine. This is the teaching. If you obey this teaching, God be thanks, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. In other words, I'm in bondage under God. I'm Jesus Christ's bondservant now. That I have taken Christ upon me. I can't do that because my body is no longer mine, and Jesus Christ tells me what to do with my body. I can't do sexual immorality. I can't hate my brother. Christ tells me to love my enemy. Christ tells me to pray for my enemy. Christ tells me, if I'm looking at His Word, everything that's in here, that's what He told me to do. That's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So we have to walk in that doctrine. We have to walk in His way. We have to keep on in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. You remember I told you that spirit is weak. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves for righteousness, for holiness' sake. In other words, present your body unto Jesus Christ as a living sacrifice. Isn't that what Mary said? When it said that the Holy Ghost overshadowed and said that she says, Lord, do what you want with your mate. Here am I, do what you want with me. You have to yield your body unto God. Start following righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. I was talking with a guy that do a lot of my repairs or whatever. He was telling me about his religion, but what he's doing now. I said, well, why didn't you leave your religion? He said, because I can't do this because of my sexual immorality and all these things. And I told him, I said, well, see, was something in your religion wasn't right, something about you that you don't believe and trust God, because you wouldn't have left your religion. You would have stayed in your religion and asked God to help you to overcome those things and not take pleasure in what you know is wrong. You would struggle with it and not give in and keep doing it. How did we get on that conversation? Because he started saying this and that. I say, now what's going to happen? I come down here and you work on my board, you do all this stuff for me. I say, and you're always talking about rev this, and, but I listen at you, what you're talking about the lawnmowers and things. I say, but you're wandering off into the deep end of the pool. You talking religious now. I say, you done strayed in the area. Now I have to talk back. I have to stand up to you now. See, so then he found out, oh, now, see, he had me when he was talking about lawnmowers. He had me when he was talking about the mechanics of this and that there. But that's what I'm trying to tell y'all. On your job, at your house, wherever you at, you stand for Jesus Christ there. Don't let nobody get you to amen and a lie that you something that you don't believe and going along with something that you don't actually believe in. Just to get along. Don't compromise. Don't tolerate sin. He says, for you were slaves of sin and you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit have you then in the things of which you are now ashamed? Cursing, lying, drinking, doing all these things? Because all these things lead to you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. For the end of those things are death. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You're standing up on the promises of God that you have everlasting life. But you know that you can't enter the kingdom of God if you're having the works of the flesh. God's not going to tolerate the works of the flesh. So we go. Let's do Philippians here. 2 and 13. And then we will close out for the night. Because like I said, go by this step by step. So I'm going to change Bible study up. Instead of just telling you about some of these scriptures, I'm going to go over the scriptures within themselves and not leave it up to you just to go home and do them. Go home and doing them is homework. Whether you do your homework or not, I'm not trying to follow up on that. It's like my wife I was talking to this week. I said, well, did you finish that day? And she said, no, I ain't doing it yet. Because I got all these scriptures here. I said, yeah, I have to go by scripture by scripture. When I give you all those things from Nave's topical or Turris topical, all those scriptures, I have to go by scripture by scripture. And I know sometimes that's my job to do it. Y'all might have different jobs and different times. But if I give you 23 pages or 20 pages, and sometimes it's not that many pages if I put it in a smaller font. I put it in a large font where y'all can read it. If I put it on a smaller font, it would be only half that many of pages. But see, don't just drop this because I read it to you. You need to study it. You need to put it in there and assimilate this to this is how you start transforming and renewing your mind by meditating on the Word of God. Studying the Word of God, meditating day and night. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively working in you. Do y'all believe that?
Yes.
See, that's why I say now, faith cometh by hearing. if you believe that, whether you're regenerated or not, you have faith in Jesus Christ. So even if you don't have the works, because did you know that's the way you get into heaven, not by works, but by grace? It's faith in Jesus Christ, believing on Him. So that's why I say you have to walk according to your beliefs. Don't say you believe something and don't do that. Don't say you believe something and do contrary. That means you're a hypocrite. It says, that is working in you. It is God that who is effectively working in you, both to will and to do. That you want to do, that is God telling you yes. Well, you got to have faith that you can do that. I want to have a little bit of strength. But yeah, God can make you be able to do that. Through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. That's where you're strong at. His faith is strong in your weaknesses. When I'm weak, then am I strong. When you know that you can't do it, that's what communion is. I'm unworthy, but He that is in me is worthy. He's more powerful. I'm sitting in heavenly places. He's doing the heavy lifting.
Amen.
He energizes me. That is strengthening and energizing me and creating in you the longing, the ability to fulfill your... It is God that's going to help me to fulfill my purposes. And that's for His pleasure. He's doing that to glorify Himself, to show you that He can do this through me. That's why your confidence has to be in Christ. That's why I say, if you do this, if you have faith, and so I say, faith is the precursor to regeneration. Now, if we get along 2 or 3 years from now, 4 or 5 years ago from now, you say, you know, say, Pastor, now I see what you were saying, but aren't they the same? Yeah, but if I'd have told you the same, then you wouldn't have realized that you need to do it differently. It's step by step. It's step by step. We're going through a process here. And we have to learn all of the little working parts. Because as a lot of religions teach you, don't have to suffer. They show you a religious life where the preacher and his wife getting along ever so good. It shows you all these stars on television when always hearing at the end of that soap opera, that sitcom or that drama or whatever, this guy marries this woman and they go off in the sunset or whatever. But they don't realize and tell you the turmoil they go through staying together. Anybody that's been married 20 or 30 years tell you, man, you know, you better make sure you're ready for marriage. Paul told him, I think it's best not to be married. That's what makes me think Paul was married at one time. Because a single man can't tell me, and I tell you, I tell a lot of them, I don't think you're ready for marriage. You know, marriage is something else. You know, as an old blues singer used to say, it'll make you walk the back streets and cry. Solomon says it's better to dwell on the rooftop by yourself than in the house with a yapping and melodious woman. Do you know sometimes, y'all, that's why I tell you, you need to learn God, because sometimes you may need to get out the house from around one another. Y'all ready to kill one another. You need to go in this party. You need to do that. That's how the Spirit told what? That these were Spirit-filled people. It told Barnabas and Paul and John Mark to separate. It says, Paul, you and Barnabas go that, you and Silas go that way. John Mark, you and Barnabas go that way. We have to learn that wrestling with this flesh, you can't portray it as something that's perfect all the time. It's going to be time that's bad. Last analogy I give as I close. Everybody likes their grandchildren, right? The little grandbabies and babies and everything. But how about the parents that's with that baby all day, every day, or whatever? See, you see in that little baby and it's chained and smelling all that powder and baby oil and all that. But you hadn't seen him before you had to change them diapers and he whining and hollering and crying and all during the day and everything. You see, that's what happens a lot of times. You get on the job or you get around people, and that's how a lot of men leave their husbands or women leave their husbands and men leave their wives or whatever. You may be around that woman and all you see is her dressed up, her at her best. she's at that office or somewhere, and she's always looking nice. Or he's always dressed up and looking nice. Would you not with him at home to find out all those little idiosyncrasies he has? All those little downfalls she has and pitfalls? So you have to learn all that goes into making of a marriage, to making of a bond. And that's why to regenerating, there are all, a whole lot of little things that go into Christianity. It's not always going to be preachers and cream. It's going to be hard. It's going to be rough. It says you have to suffer there in the end. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this night, Lord God, strengthen us in your word and in your way, Lord God, to do those things.